You know, in Ephesians, the Bible talks about Paul praying that we would be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Holy Spirit's been given to us that we might have knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit's been given to us that we might have revelation of the face of God. Ezekiel 39:29 says, I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord. Do you know that we have the privilege, because of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, to see the face of God? That the Holy Spirit's being given, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Jesus spoke of it, saying, you know, John is the... greatest among men, born of women. But he says, the least in the kingdom of heaven, the least in the kingdom will be greater than him. Why? Because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Because the Spirit of God poured out on the people would cause them, because of the work, the finished work of the cross, where the veil was torn, and the Holy Spirit coming upon them, quickening them, would allow the people of God to have face-to-face communion with him, free access, total forgiveness, total freedom, that we would have a time where we would be face-to-face friends with God. We talked last week a little bit about those who love their God. You know, if you love God, you'll obey me, and those who love me, I will manifest myself and make myself real to them. Who was here last week? And we talked about how when you obey the prompting of the Holy Ghost, the commands of God, he leads us to greater manifestations of his glory. That if you obey the prompting to go and if you love him, you will obey him. And if you are attuned your ear to the Holy Ghost, acknowledging him in all your ways, as you obey him, say to go and pray for the person in the shopping center, or pray for the person that you see there, or if you obey him when he draws you and says, come on, just spend a little longer in my presence, there's always a reward. Those who diligently seek him, the Bible says there's a reward for those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who obey his commands. And, you know, I used to read that verse in John and get condemned and think, well, you know, I don't always obey his commands. Does that apply to me, that I will see him manifested and that he will make himself real to me? But what the scripture is saying, and I spoke about this last week, is that when we obey the promptings of God, he leads us. Every prompting of God is designed to lead us, that we would see a greater manifestation of the face of God, of the glory of God. That every time we obey him, God has something more to reveal about his character to us. I was on my floor in my bedroom this afternoon, probably my favorite place at the moment. And I was seeking God, just beginning to worship him, beginning to seek him. It was my first message I think I ever gave. I think I was probably 15, and I talked about quiet times. I dressed up in front of the youth group, and I gave a little talk about having quiet times with God. But, you know, that's my life message, because time alone in the presence of God is the source of my strength, is the source of my life. And As I get on the floor in my bedroom, and I just begin to seek the face of God. And as I began to seek him, I felt the Holy Spirit just encourage me, just wait a little longer, look a little deeper, keep looking. And you know, as I did, God began to break through in my life, and a cry started coming out of my spirit. And I began to cry, and the Lord began to just reveal to me how much I desperately needed his love. And as I cried out, God, I desperately need your love, he began to fill me, expand me, enlarge me. And you know, day by day, as we develop our relationship with God just by obeying the promptings of the Holy Ghost, God wants to enlarge us. God wants to fill us, and God wants to make himself real to us. He wants to manifest himself to us, and he wants to reveal his glory. And the more that we take time to allow the Lord to make himself real to us, it says here, pursue the knowledge of God. The more you pursue knowing God, the more you will infectiously overflow. You'll be like Sean, like Levin and Cherie. They see people with hearing aids. They see people with disabilities, and they see it as an opportunity. Woohoo! There we go. Because they're filled with the Spirit of God. Hello, George. And I'm so proud of all of you here. You know, you are pursuing God. But the more you hunger, the more you thirst, the more you pursue the knowledge of God, the more you will begin to recognize who you are. You see, as we seek him, we begin to find out who he is and how wonderful he is. We begin to understand what it means to be part of the body of him. That's who he is, and therefore, because I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and because I am now grafted in and made part of the body of Christ, the more I know of how wonderful he is, the more I understand who I am, because I am part of his body. And when you, as you daily fill up on that knowledge, as you daily pursue the knowledge of God, you'll understand the treasure that you have within you and be able to say, such as I have, give I thee. You won't come with an idea that I am inadequate or faulty or somehow not quite spiritual enough. You'll recognize that my God loves me. And because he's forgiven my sins, because he said that his blood covers my sins, and that if I just ask, I will receive it. If I'll only just receive his forgiveness, he'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness as I confess my sins. He is faithful, and I don't have to pay for my sin. As you begin to recognize that day by day his mercies are new every morning, and that you can come and say, Lord, today I am crucified with Christ. Today I die daily. Therefore, watch out, world. I'm a piece and a part of the body of Christ, able to go forth and release the kingdom. You see, God had a great plan and a great excitement when he talked about the coming baptism of the Holy Ghost to the apostles and the disciples. And that was that he would be duplicated in the earth, and that his good news would be spread and manifested with signs, wonders, and miracles, just as he did, and greater works than he did, because he would be sending himself, his body, out all over the earth to do the works of Christ. Because as Christ is, so are we in this world. Amen? But in all of the doing, if you have a look down a little bit further down Hosea, in verse 6 it says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Sometimes people can get very caught up in their doing for God. They can get very caught up in doing good things to serve God. They love God. And they'll serve, they'll be the ones who'll help and serve and help. But are almost, sometimes people get caught up in serving God, but are afraid of intimacy with God. And they feel like they could substitute their doing and their helping God for the knowledge, the pursuit of the knowledge of God. And sometimes I think Christians relegate all this seeking the face of God privately in your bedroom to, you know, really super spiritual people called to be preachers. Or they relegate it to the particularly emotional or passionate people, you know. But God's desire is that every person, everyone would come to a greater knowledge of Him day by day, that day by day a hunger would be birthed in the hearts of His people to pursue the knowledge of God. And the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is not so that you can just speak in tongues, though it's such a wonderful gift. As you pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost will be praying the will of God. And the will of God for you is that you would be stirred up in hunger to know more of the knowledge of God, that you may understand who you are, what your purpose and your destiny in the earth is, that what you are now made of, the new creation that you now are in Christ, that His purposes would be done on the earth. The containment is over. The containment of the church and of the Christian life, and that the idea that you know, you get saved and you just can be okay and get healed and then go to heaven and die. That old mentality is over. You know, God is beginning to make the people realize, wake up and realize that your salvation, your infilling, your baptism of Holy Ghost and fire is not all about you. It's all about the King and His kingdom and making you a part of Him, a part of His body, to go and to see His works done in the earth. Amen. I know that this is a time where God is promoting anybody who'll put their hand up and say, Lord, use me, who will day by day make themselves available. You know, there is so much work to be done. We need to be careful, you know, that those of us who've been saved a long time don't start ending up in the elder brother boat, because God is going to raise up anybody who'll say, God, I need to know you more. I'm hungry for you. Use me. I believe that as the Spirit is being poured out, and we really are entering a new season, a season of great revival and harvest, God is calling and drawing and raising up the harvesters, and He is qualifying anybody who is called and equipping anybody who says, God, give me today my daily bread. I don't read in the Bible that, you know, you have to go through this course or that course, or, you know, have this many years of deliverance and doing this and doing that. And, you know, I'm not against, you know, good things that help people set people free, but I have seen people get into a victim mentality where all their life, their whole Christian experience is about getting more free and more inner healing or more this or more that, and then they actually never do anything. And church for a long time has been about you and you getting better, and it's like God is reversing it all, tipping you upside down, pouring you out so that you can come back into church and get filled up and poured out again all through the week, everywhere you go. This is a new day. And I don't mean that with any scolding, but it's a good thing. See, His grace is sufficient. It's enough for whatever you need. And God can do a work in an instant. And God can do a work on the way. But God's not waiting for you to get spiritual enough or healed enough or good enough or holy enough. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, help me. If you can use anything, use me. And as you go, God will cause His life to be manifested in you. As you see Him, you will be changed day by day in His image. See, if you behold yourself all the time, how are you going to be transformed? You become what you behold. You reflect what you behold. And if your focus is always on me and I'm needing to get more fixed and more healed and before I go and do anything, you're lost, really, because you're just going to stay in this rut. God wants to lift the heads of the churches that they might arise and shine, see His glory. And as they see Him, they begin to reflect Him. And as they see Him, He deals and brings up the things that we need to deal with. I'm not one to go digging for stuff in people's lives or trying to dig out things that need to be fixed, because my experience has been that in the walk with God, God has, as the fire has increased, as I've come closer to Him, the fire brings to the surface the impurities, and as they come to the top and I recognize, ooh, that's ugly, I say, help God, and He comes and He skims it off the top, and that's the work of sanctification. I don't need to do it. All I need to do is get closer to God. You know, when the eagle flies, and the Bible talks so much about us being like the eagle, and those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up on wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. But the eagle, when the eagle is being pursued by predators or other birds that are annoying it, what it does is it just turns and it flies directly into the sun, because it has oil glands over its eyes that allow it to be able to see directly into the sun. The other birds can't see anything. All they can see is the sun. And it's the same thing with us. As we look to Him, as we keep our focus on things above, things that are pure and lovely and of a good report, all the other things, all the hindrances and the stuff in our lives that we think we need to turn around and fight and struggle with, they can't follow where you're going. I have one word in closing, and that is Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to everything. He wants to love on you. And He wants to fill you up. And He's here right now to heal, to touch, to save you, to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's all that we need. Amen? I just want to pray right now. Father, we thank You for Your anointing. And Lord, we do desire for Your Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us in greater ways, Lord. Thank You, Spirit of God. If tonight you say, I want to know God, I want to follow Christ, I want to know this love, and you say, I want to give my life to Christ, I want Him to forgive my sins, I want to be a part of His body, I want to follow Him, I want to come into His kingdom, I want to be saved. If that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here that says, I want to give my life to Christ tonight? I want to pray for you tonight. Is there anybody here? If that's you, just raise your hand and we're going to pray. Anybody here tonight says, I want to give my life to Christ? Hallelujah. Shakia bata. Anybody here tonight? So I want to be a follower of Christ. The Bible says that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And you know, it's the best decision you could ever make. Is anybody here tonight that says, I want to follow Christ tonight? I want to give my life to Him.